Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen over in Studio A, and we are broadcasting via Facebook live stream, I should say, and over in Studio B with his entourage is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Ms. Allen. Did I hear our English lady from Manchester who introduces us?
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, then. I love that voice. Mr. Allen, what's it like this morning? Of course, it's snowing again here in the north, Midwest, if you will. This snow's driving people crazy. Some of these folks may probably want to go back to Chicago or Dallas or Atlanta or back home.
Yeah, or Omaha.
Yeah.
Mr. Edwards, this morning I had to leave pretty early and be out at the dealership at 7 for oil change. And I'm telling you, I don't think I went over 30 miles an hour out 36 going eastbound to 61 to White Bear. So the roads are really slick. The plow trucks, I just saw a plow truck on the way back to the studio. And that was pretty interesting. Yep. So, the roads are slick.
I saw the same thing coming in the studio, but I saw it beginning to emerge last night. They warned us, the weather people, meteorologists gave us a heads up here in our beloved Shangri-La that it was going to be a tough weekend weather-wise, if you will. But we are allegedly, black Swedes, like our white counterparts. We're supposed to be rugged and ready to heal and et cetera, man. So, I assume that we can handle the thing. Did you see any spin outs? Anybody in the ditchy?
A couple folks were in the ditch, and I was looking at that, and I was going like, wow, just stay off the brakes. But I'm pretty sure by noon, the main pathways will be pretty much clear. But these back streets and side streets are horrible, Mr. Edwards, in the Twin Cities. And I guess we're expecting some more snow, and this is brought to us by the Black Weather News Network, like 4 to 5 inches later on today. So it's going to be a mess. They're saying that we should stay in, but they always tell us to stay in. And, I have no problem driving.
They tell us to hurry and get food and et cetera, so people storm the stores.
Yes.
Yeah, and as if historical, monumental blizzard is getting ready to come in, block you down with 40 inches, 50 inches, 70 inches, 80 inches of snow. Yeah. But we got a lot going, John, but in Black America right now, people are talking about this situation with the little fellow that was a member of the cast of Empire, the big sitcom that has done real good for the last 5 years, highly profiled. And by the way, isn't this the awards? Don't we get the awards this Sunday? Going to be on the red carpet?
Yes, the red carpet, all that great stuff. The Oscars tomorrow night, and I think locally it's like 7:30, and there's a pre-show and TMZ, all the big shots, the big names. And beautiful jewelry will be out and doing their thing.
Oh man, they'll be stepping and talking, man. I don't think anybody will make any jokes about what's the guy's name? His first name Jesse. I don't think they'll be making any jokes about him. They could surprise us. But we have an obligation as journalists to talk about this, because there is a parallel situation in which it appears that there will be a different kind of consequence, if you will. Bob Kraft, the powerful white owner of the New England Patriots. I know you're not that much of a sports fan, Don, but you watched his team.
No, not necessarily.
You heard nothing but accolades about his team. In the Super Bowl, they trounced the Los Angeles Rams. I have reason to believe that Belichick, the coach of the New coaches who's gotten caught cheating, I mean actually cheating a couple of times,
oh,
knew the plays of the Kansas City Chiefs and then the Rams in the game in Atlanta. I know they partied them back in Atlanta on Super Bowl week. And just think, Doc, just a year ago, we hosted the Super Bowl. City of Minneapolis.
Yes, we did.
Minnesota made a lot of money. You know, we never have seen a printout of how much the colored community, the black community got. Do you have any idea? I mean,
no,
I heard black leaders say that they picked up 45 or 50 million, right?
Yeah, and that's interesting that you asked that question because you remember it was set up that the Super Bowl here in the Twin Cities or in Minneapolis was supposed to bring a financial windfall, economic development to the communities of around the Twin Cities and the businesses, of course. And it's not that we're in line asking for handouts or anything of the such, but, you know, there are areas that need that economic infusion of dollars, cash, cold hard cash to make sure that people survive, that people, you know, can live. And like you said, I've seen no printout, no report of how that profit margin was distributed, if it was distributed. And, you know, and I'm not necessarily talking about this.
I know it had to be because in the entity that's called the host committee, you know, made up of 99.5% Caucasian, white people here in Minnesota. I know that they wouldn't forsake, you know what I mean, and not be responsible. We must have missed it, Don. Maybe we could check on our computers. We must have missed it. I'm quite sure the report was issued in April or May of it would be last year, wouldn't it? I mean, the Super Bowl. Now, they say that the black community did real well in Atlanta. Of course, they have a different political structure and, you know, et cetera. But I really haven't – I never see any figures posted after the competition.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct, Mr. Edwards. No one posted anything regarding the profits of the Super Bowl. I mean, for businesses, you know, and let's put a disclaimer there. We understand businesses are in business to make money, and that's not necessarily what we're talking about here, but it was sold to our communities, just like the People's Stadium was sold to our communities, that this would be a good economic and viable source of income and development for those areas on the north, south, east, and west side, you know, around the stadium, and it just has not become that. And a few people have made money. I mean, it's okay making money, but, you know, still we have a situation here in the Twin Cities where we have some discrepancies that need to be addressed how we get to that point.
Don, you're absolutely correct because, see, they've been very blessed, the Caucasian community, because we have in April probably the second most magnetized event, and that is the Final Four. That's the NCAA, the National Collegiate Association. They will be here playing. Now, they're projecting 90,000 guests into our beloved city and upwards of 50, 55, 60 million, if you will. In fact, I saw program or actually a news broadcast here about a month and a half ago. First of all, they were making sure that the folks that come to visit and to play and party and have, you know, a good time, if you will be safe. We'll be safe. And I'm going to touch on that later on, Don, after the first half hour, because I was at a meeting at the Davis Educational Center. You know, that's the big auditorium over there where the Board of Education meets and et cetera. It grabs a place. By the way, I'm hearing rumors that maybe we'll touch on that later, that Ed Graf may be looking for greener grounds, or he wants to return to Alaska and et cetera. But anyway, so we want to go to the whole thing with Empire. I was trying to figure out if Mr. Kraft, the powerful white owner of the New England Patriots, who is deaf on the national anthem and Negro ball players, okay? He is really But they have been the last number of years. And in fact, someone mentioned in 2015 they brought in, guess who, Bob Mueller, to do a special investigation on the NFL, talking about information that was leaked on a black ball player, been banned for life, had altercation with a young lady who actually is now his wife. They said he couldn't get back into the game, last name Rice. And then we had a young ball player out of Kansas City Chiefs. He was expelled because he kicked a white woman and pushed her down. And Bob Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, who got caught in a massage parlor, getting the big one, if you know what I mean. So I'm just kind of wondering this question. Will we expect that Bobby Kraft, you know, will be treated the same way that the Bubba with Empire, whose career is ruined, is over, is being treated? Okay. Now, we already know what how Bob Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, how he feels about keeping Negroes in line. Okay. And as I said, he is one of the intergroup of owners. Oh, by the way, there's no blacks, even though, you know, almost 70% of the players, Don, in the NFL. Call it up on your computer there. 70% of the players of the NFL are Negroes, blacks. Do you know that you folks have not been able to put together a franchise and you don't own anything?
Oops.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
you don't
and that's
own
very
a single franchise. Yeah.
Nothing.
Well,
we don't have.
No. And, I mean, and that NFL, just like the NBA, the Negro Basketball Association. I mean, that's the joke. There's a lot of white folks still. They make a lot of money too. They make millions and hundreds of millions and hundreds of millions and et cetera. So, anyways. What's your take on what happened with this guy? And then I'll just kind of segue in with regards to how already they're trying to protect Bob Kraft, again, the owner, chairman of the board of the New England Patriots. Now, you know, not supposed to talk about that. But, you know, it looks like Bob was down there in, I think it was Jupiter, Florida there. Getting a massage. And everything, you know what I mean? By the way, the young women who were servicing him were young women who were brought into the country illegally from China.
Oh, no. And I heard on the news this morning that place shut down. No, I heard on the news this morning that particular sauna, spa, whole house, whatever you want to call it, is shut down for the time being because of the human trafficking piece.
Yes, yeah, that's a key piece of, you know, they made sure yesterday that they disassociated Bobby Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, who just won his, you know, sixth Super Bowl with his cheating his cheating coach and his quarterback. Now, by the way, Bob Kraft, the coach of the New England Patriots, Belichick, and their great quarterback Tom Brady are all Trumpites. Love Donald Trump. Love Donald Trump.
Good for
one
them.
Thing that
yeah.
Yes, love Donald Trump. One of the things that I noticed with Mr. Kraft is that he does not allow, and they showed that when they brought the legendary Randy Moss, who you know is now in the Vikings, you know, Minnesota Vikings, who never get where they're supposed to be. Randy Moss was in New England, and Randy, who usually talks like he's still in the hills of West Virginia, was real quiet for the short period of time he was there because they said Mr. Kraft, boss Kraft, the same guy that was, you know, using the services of women who had been illegally brought into the United States, that Kraft told him, boy, this is how we operate here, okay? You're D.C., get you a couple passes, and keep your black mouth shut. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, okay, this is America. This is the America that we know. But now this young African American here, whose career is over with if you will, with Empire Records. Have you ever watched the show Empire?
Oh yeah, the first season. My wife and I watched every episode together. I mean, it was compelling. Yeah, it was compelling. It drew you in. Terrence Howard, the young lady guy.
I love it. Great, great actor. Great actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you
And the young lady playing the lead role, who names it escapes me all of a sudden. I don't know why. Tahara.
Yes.
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 Name. Yeah. She elegant. And the pieces they had going in were really good. They did some good music. This guy even had, this Justin Smollett even had, I should say Jesse Smollett, had good songs, some really good songs that he did on the show. And so, I mean,
the
he
role
was drawn
he played,
in early.
He was the gay son of Terrence Howard, right? Was he was the gay,
yes,
the gay
yes.
son.
He was having some issues. He was having some issues and going through some boyfriends, like, you know, picking flowers in the flower field. And, you know, the show was an adult-oriented show, of course. But
5 years. It's been on 5 years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that they'll probably still probably have already done the ballot, but they'll get a couple of awards. I don't think anything will happen at the Oscars because the Oscars is about the big cinema. The big cinema.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're first. You know, by the way, I always maintain that Empire was crafted after Motown.
Yeah, of course. That's what it reminds you of the Motown, the struggle Berry Gordy had.
Berry Gordy,
you know, his
yeah.
marriages. Yes, and yeah. It was like right out of a Motown book. But you know, to this Jesse Smollett, you know, Mr. Edwards, look, I'm no expert. But if you're going to fake a white supremacist hate crime, you know, you should hire two white guys. You know, and
I concur.
You know,
and particularly two guys who were just happy to be here from Nigeria, if you will, spending
yeah.
a lot of time. But, you know, one of those guys and Jesse or Sled had a relationship. In fact, Superintendent Eddie Johnson, the chief of police of Chicago. That's the title of the top guy there, so nobody gets confused. Eddie Johnson really laid the wood to the entire narrative, if you will. He was pretty ticked off and et cetera. But he made a statement. In fact, they made sure they were showing the pictures of the two Nigerians, and he was saying that Jesse, if you will, had a relationship with one of the guys. I think it's the shorter of the two, the one that was showing his chest and everything. But I'm looking at this, and I'm just trying to get a feel if we're going to have balance. Sometimes the good Lord works in strange ways. Only his power is known. And for the timing of Kraft, Robert Kraft, a power broker in America, if you will, one of the inner circle of the powerful billion dollar dime National Football League, if you will, that entertains, keeps us in the tradition of the Coliseum, you know, have the Negroes, the blacks out there entertaining, and et cetera, making, compared to what the owners make, 10 peanuts, if you will. But I wondered the question, because I got a text message earlier this morning, and they kind of challenged us if we were even talking in terms of balance, and will the National Football League hold Robert Kraft as accountable as they have been holding their black foot players who, you know, were exercising their right to quietly protest, such as the excellent quarterback who all of a sudden now is Colin Kaepernick, who was just allegedly a bum. I'm puzzled by that because he got his team into the playoffs and et cetera. But this kid, Hunt, they got a kid, young man, University of Toledo. Boy, he was having a heck of a season. Something happened at a hotel in, I think it was Cleveland. And white girl kind of looked like disrespected him, the disrespected Hunt. And he did slap her, 9-9-D kicker. He made some bad moves. But I wonder if we will hold Robert Kraft, billionaire many times over, if we'll kind of hold him to the same standard, you know what I mean, when it comes to punishment time.
I bet we won't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the Jesse Smollett, what he did, you know, it was pretty foul because, you know, we don't necessarily have to go after him, but we have to use some logic and understand. I have no compassion for him, first of all. He's not a victim. He's kind of an asshole. And he shouldn't have done what he did. And to do this, to bring publicity to yourself, did they not think that the police was going to catch you? You know, the title of our show today, Mr. Edwards, as you know, is how should Black America feel about this guy? And I think it's embarrassing not only for Black America mainstream, but also the GBLT community, the Black male GBLT community, where this, you know, who are questioning. I've been reading a lot of blog posts, a lot of stories on Medium and a couple other places, and people are fired up. A young man, we'd like to send our condolences out to Mr. K.G. Wilson, too, who lost his mother, and he's actually in Chicago.
Listening to the show.
And we appreciate that, but he's telling me that it's the talk in all the barbershops on the block, and people are really, you know, heated behind this because you can hate a political figure. You can dislike Trump. You can dislike Obama. You can dislike Bush. But how far do your actions, you know, deem you a terrible consequence? This guy, the actor, Smollett, thought he was slick enough to pull this thing off. First, he wrote a letter. He cut letters out of a magazine and wrote a homophobic letter and mailed it to himself with some white powder in it, probably some flour. And then now this, where he, you know, goes to the extreme to produce a narrative using people that he's paid for to whoop him. I don't see myself taking an ass whooping, you know, for something like political like this. Because they did beat the Stu.
I concur, Mr. Allen. And by the way, the number is 347-426-3904. We're just taking a look at the two hot issues, which most folks would try to, you know, encourage us not to tie together, but actually they are tied together as it pertains to the National Football League. Bob Kraft, powerful owner, gets caught in a sludge hole, if you will, in Jupiter, Florida, if you will. On the other hand, Jesse, however, has lost his career. He's through. He, you know, his best bet will probably be to make some porno movies if he decides to go in that direction.
And then, Mr. Edwards, we also have to insert in there, and we do have a caller. We got to insert in there. What's happening with R. Kelly, charged on 10 counts of sexual misconduct, which could even put him in jail.
Him, aren't they, Don? Yes. R. Kelly.
And they're
going to break
there,
him.
I'm going to go out on the ledge, Mr. Edwards, now, and say, out of these three cases, I think R. Kelly's going to walk away. Because some of the stuff that was going on, some of the stuff that I'm reading on the dark web about some of these young girls and older sisters and parents, female parents, want to meet with R. Kelly. He's popular. He's popular at the time. They want to get next to him. They want to get some money. And that's not in all cases. I'm saying victimizing young women is bad. I agree with that 100%. But what the courts are going to do is a thing called discovery. And this information is going to be put out there because, you know, he's paying for a top-notch lawyer. And we'll see what happens. But out of these three cases, the NFL owner, Jesse Smollett, and R. Kelly, I think that R. Kelly is going to walk based on
okay. I like the way that you crafted on the big chessboard what that is. You're right. It will be an opportunity to see it balanced. America, powerful America, is going to be in making judgment here. Yes. Didn't he go to trial for 10 allegations of sexual trafficking and et cetera? And he beat all of them, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he won them. And
Caller, I'm sorry, early Saturday morning.
Caller,
where you at?
Call
where, what's happening?
You're live on the air with the Ron and Don Show. What's your question or comment?
Good morning. I'm calling from the Midwest. Good morning. I was calling from the Midwest, and I know you were talking about Bob Kraft. I just wanted to add a little bit to, because you mentioned Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt was having a party. Just to give the sort of the details, he was having a party in his hotel room and found out that one of the young women was underage. They were drinking during this party. So he was trying to get her out of the hotel room. She called him the N-word at the time. And I think that's what started the whole thing. I think he ended up pushing her and kicking her. But he was immediately released from the Chiefs after that video came out. And what's interesting here is that Bob Kraft apparently was allegedly caught receiving a sex act on videotape. So now, are we going to see the videotape of Bob Kraft, much like we did of Kareem Hunt?
Question.
Yeah, I mean, I realize some of it would have to be blanked out, but we should be able to see this videotape like the one of Kareem Hunt and Ray Rice, shouldn't we? I mean,
now Ray Rice was the young black running back who did hit a young lady who was his fiance at that time. He later married her in the elevator. He was banned for life. In fact, Bob Kraft and Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys were the owners in the forefront of talking in terms of bringing Negroes to heel, like, you know, like a dog, like, you know, heel over. And you know, Bob Kraft led. We were looking at some articles and documents this early this morning here in the Twin Cities, and Bob Kraft was one of the ones that really led the fight against and the expulsion for life of Colin Kaepernick. Now, Colin Kaepernick didn't take advantage of young women who were brought to this country illegally from China, nor did he file a false police report or anything like that. In fact, he did not even strike a woman who was his fiance, later to be his wife. Colin Kaepernick just talked about the social issues, and particularly at a time when there was much controversy and hostility in America about the continued shootings of young African Americans. Wow, you have raised an interesting question with regards to Hunt there in Kansas City, in that hotel room. I think it was Cleveland, Ohio, they were having the party. I think
Chiefs
were there for a game. Now, you're suggesting that fairness dictates that once a policy is established, and they were talking about Bob Miller in 2015, he made about $9 million. Investigating who leaked the information on it's Ray Rice, right? Leaked that information. It helped generate, you know, the Me Too movement. We stand up for, you know, women. Well, you know, primarily white women. And there's not been a lot of discussion, sir, about what happened and the disrespect shown by the young underage white girl, and the fact that Mr. Hunt was attempting to facilitate her departure because he did not want her in the party.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, I listened to Bob Kraft and et cetera on some of the social media. And boy, Bob Kraft is a part of an owner's group that talks real bad about us black folks, and including black players, and et cetera. What is your take on what's going to happen to Solette? I mean, do you think he will ever have a career doing anything other than being on a poster somewhere?
Well, from what I understand, did he go back to work or something?
They wrote him right out of the program.
Oh, they did? Oh, okay.
There were two episodes left, and he came back on the stage, on the scene, I think trying to, you know, reinforce his statements of innocence. But you had to know with all the powerful sponsors that Empire has,
mm-hmm.
there was no way in the world that they were going to be able to keep this gentleman around. And so he came back on the casting scene. They let him talk to a couple of people. I guess there were probably some hugs and tears. And they gave him a letter indicating that he was no longer a part of Empire, if you will. And I'm quite sure that he will not be contracted with for the beginning of the next season, the sixth season. So you have that, but you have raised an interesting challenge to America, sir, and that is where we get a chance to see the videos of Bob Graham.
Yeah, and you'd also raised the issue of proportional punishment here. And as I recall, Kareem Hunt was not charged with anything. He was not charged with a crime by the Cleveland Police Department, but was still fired anyway.
You know, sir, you are absolutely correct, Steve, that the young Mr. Hunt was not charged with anything, and that happened a year ago, by the way. And yet, it's interesting because the owners of the Kansas City Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken, are their last names are Hunt, Lamar Hunt and his family, who enjoy the profit of the National Football League. That's right. He was never arrested, never charged. In fact, the young lady never even sued him. And I found that to have been interesting because obviously there had been a quick settlement. She could have drank some more alcohol, and once she came of age, she could, you know, kind of call that a camp follower, if you will.
Yeah.
But you're right. In the case of Hunt, and they talked about how did they talk about him there in Kansas City? Because he was having a tremendous season, and he seemed to be a well-liked young man, and yet they just threw him out the door. Though he has, it's interesting, if I'm not mistaken, sir, he has signed with the Cleveland Browns of the National Football League?
Yes, he has. Yeah, they signed.
Okay.
He signed with them. So, yeah.
All right.
One other thing, too, this term is kind of used in sort of liberal circles, I guess. It's called white privilege. I wonder if we're seeing white privilege here. Are we seeing white privilege? You think we'll see it with Bob Kraft?
I cannot speak for my colleague, Mr. Allen. He certainly has his microphone. There's no doubt in my mind, particularly in light of the fact that we would be remiss as journalists, if you will, not point this out, is that Bobby Kraft, the owner of the you know, Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, he had been arrested 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, and yet I can remember the camera being on him faces in the last you know, quarter of the Super Bowl game against the Los Angeles Rams. And he was sitting in his, you know, executive box. By the way, I always noticed that Bob Kraft, I've never seen any black people around Bob Kraft. That reminds me of a person we have running for president here now out of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't get ourselves, I would get myself in trouble, but we I've never seen any black people, you know, staff or et cetera, around her. But in the case of back to the NFL, I've never seen any African Americans, if you will, around Bob Kraft. I've never seen him in his box and et cetera. And yet, I wondered this, Steve. How was it that as you know, as tenacious as you know, the white fourth estate is, that no information was leaked until authorities in Florida announced the arrest and et cetera of some of the guys, you know, that were captured on film, violating these young Asian women who were brought into this country illegally. And I understand some of the acts are, you know, rather interesting, if you will. And so I don't know if there's a different doctrine. I have to say, I can't speak for my colleague, Mr. Allen, but I have to say that there will be a different standard for Mr. Kraft, just as there will be a different standard for Hunt, and there will be a different standard for Jesse, if you will.
Yeah.
And just as there has been a different standard for Colin Kaepernick, who stood up for, quote-unquote, America's right to protest violence against African American community. I just think it'll be a different situation, but I'm like you. I'd like to see the old videos just like they did in the case of the Ray Rice. I'd like to see those videos and the young man who played for Kansas City. I'd like to see. I think the public has a right to know. What do you think, Mr. Allen?
Yeah.
I know Mr. Allen didn't call. What do you think, Mr. Allen? Well, just
to be fair, I think, if there's videos, we want to see, well, I don't want to see them, but the video should be played so that people can see the chaos that's going on and the double standards, and as our caller from the Midwest said, the white privilege all the way around, because, you know, this is Black History Month, and if you think back over the last 10 years, we've had some of the most heinous misrepresentations of the Black community happen during the month of February. It starts in January, right after Martin Luther King Day. And then it goes like till the end of February, and then the news media kind of eases off. But anything negative that a Black person can do, and I'm not, you know, I'm not defending any of these guys at all, but this Jesse Smollett thing, you know, that was a perfect catch for the media, you know, and it's blowing up everywhere. And this R. Kelly piece, but it's like we try to deconstruct.
I'm sorry,
the Black
that's
community.
Why we haven't mentioned R. Kelly. I'm sorry, Mr. Elm. That's why. Give us a little quick background on that. And Steve, just kind of stay with us for a minute here.
Okay.
All right. R. Kelly. I mean, wow. How many charges is that? 8, 9, 10?
It's 10 charges, you know, being an alleged sexual predator and underage girls and things like that. And they said they have videos of him peeing on young ladies and making these videos, but also these are some of the same videos.
Urinating on them, yes.
Urinating on them.
Well, they had that in trial a couple years ago.
That's what I was going to say. They had that in trial a while back where he walked away. And again, I don't know if you were listening to him, but I said that out of the NFL owner, Jesse Smollett, and R. Kelly, I think R. Kelly walks, even though there's a large, it's really funny when you look at the people who are really out there protesting, people like R. Kelly, Cardi B's husband, Offset, who hasn't done anything except cheated on Cardi B and then got back with her, and then you hear all these comments, but this drive, this push is not by Black people. This push is by white females
Wow, Don, I think you're on an excellent point, and so is Steve with regards to, you know, public has a right. I know people will make the statement, I don't want to see stuff like that. Yeah, I know, and then the same person got a big collection of porno down in the basement, you know, the recording, if you will. But gentlemen, you know, the fairness and balance is supposed to be the order of the day. I concur with my associate, Mr. Allen, and the caller, if you will, that we have online now. I don't think, you know, they're going to really work hard to make Bob Kraft's situation go away. I mean, Bob is a part of the powerful, you know, group people here. I mean, this guy is a fanatical supporter, along with his quarterback and his coach, of the Donnie Trump. You got to remember, this same Donald Trump that made some terrible, terrible, terrible statements about women, if you will, and yet a lot of women went right out and voted for him, and that's the reason he's president of these United States, if you will.
Any questions?
I'm sorry, Don. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to interject. You know, at the time that President Trump said that he was not running for president,
I don't think it's fair
to go back 20 years, 10 years, 15, whatever. You know, it was stupid of him to say that on videotape. I would agree with that. But, you know, why go back that many years and bring some stuff? Because, you know, some people have skeletons in their closet. Me personally, I got graveyards in my closet. So if I'm going to do something and someone's going to go back 25 years, when does it stop? When does it cut off? I mean, you look at people like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson, Tawana Browley, and the Reverend Al Sharpton. I mean, every one of them have done something publicly questionable. And you're looking at this and you're going like, well, wow, you know, the president said this 10 years ago. Yeah, you shouldn't say grab a woman, whatever. But, you know, a lot of guys say that. But a lot of guys
are
not the president.
I know you're coming to us from the right and et cetera. But
yeah.
The president has said something in 2019 already that wasn't too kind. But, of course, he's president. And he can do whatever he chooses to do. I found it interesting that he hasn't had a lot to say about Bobby Kraft, that situation that just took place about 3 weeks ago. I mean, it wasn't like it was yesterday. But, you know, it's just like the thing with Steve King, the little racist congressman out of northwestern Iowa, there around Sioux City, Iowa there. He was, you know, make the statement, and we're all told to kind of, you know, look the other way and et cetera. But anyways, I appreciate the overview, and we've got, well, I want to thank you, Steve, because we've got a couple of items here that we are, you know, required to report on, including a big meeting with the chief of our police department. But, Steve, anything else? If not, we want to thank you this Saturday morning.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. Mr. Allen, we've been talking quite a bit. If we have anybody in the queue who wants to come off, we apologize. Phone lines are open, as always.
We have a caller, Mr. Edwards, but the last four of the numbers is 1111. So they just might want to listen to the queue. Let me check.
You got a phone number here. It's me. My name's Joe.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Okay. I wanted to answer your guest's proclamation about, well, how far back you want to go for somebody. You go back as far as necessary to find out anything bad about that person, if that particular personality or particular issue of that particular day is something which carries over to the present time. Now, having said that, I didn't vote for Trump, but I'm a Trump supporter now. So I want to put something in a proper perspective. That Hollywood Access tape didn't say from him that you should go out and grab pussy. What he said was, if you were a celebrity, you could grab pussy and get away with it. Now, can anybody there dispute what he just said, or what I just said about him?
No.
The issue as it pertains to the celebrity and on the bus and all that. No, no one wants to dispute it. No,
okay,
no, no.
Good.
But you're primarily talking to my buddy from the right. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. So then, all right. I didn't know I was preaching to the choir. But in any case, like I said, as long as I was concerned about his putting his finger on the red button. It seems as though he's practiced a lot of restraint with regards to war, but he seems to be ramping up the empire building machine again. Now, I don't know if he's actually doing that or if he has something in mind, which is indeed something good for our national security. I hope so, because I'd rather see our boys come home.
Let me ask you this, Joe, and we like to get people like yourself here with your opinion. What's your position on the law and these people coming in here from Central America and up to Mexico threatening our national security? What's your position on that, buddy?
I don't care if they come from Norway or Denmark. Nobody should come into the steps on somebody else's soil without being vetted. Do I not like illegal immigration, I don't want legal immigration. Why? Because we have 95 million Americans out of work. When somebody does not have a job, yet that job can go to another person who came from another country, somebody's going to have to explain to me how that is fair to the person who was born to that country.
Good point. I think that's an excellent point. That's some of the points that are being debated now as we prepare for the next move. By the way, I saw that you moved quickly to national defense. President going to Asia this coming week to meet with the Blue Rocket Man from North Korea. Obviously, you know that. I don't think the president wants to push that button. That's one that could take out 7 or 8 or 9 million people. Joe, your points are well made from the right, if you will, you know, defend the flag.
I'm not a conservative. I'm a libertarian. I don't like conservatives. Conservatives.
Oh, you're a libertarian. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A centrist. Are you kind of a centrist?
No, I'm a libertarian. A libertarian means that I believe in
Yeah, I know what it means, but I'm asking you, are you a centrist also?
No, a libertarian is a libertarian, not a centrist.
Well, see, that's where we differ. I have a different philosophy, and you and I would have a different philosophy if you come from different cultures. So, what else, Joe? Anything else that's on your mind this morning?
Well, what are you guys talking about? I like to talk about politics.
Well, we've already got through that. I think we have some people holding. When you say talk about politics, what kind of politics are you talking about? You're a libertarian.
Yeah, I like to talk about it.
What politics do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about black-white politics?
What do you want to talk about?
This is a black program.
Sure.
Go ahead. What do you want to talk about, buddy?
Well, okay, you're saying black-white. What is it that you like to bring up, and I'll give you my opinion about it.
Jesse Smollett.
All right.
What do you think about Jesse Smollett and his faking the funk with the Trump guys beat him up? To make America
yeah,
great
that
guys.
Was, that was up. Stupid. I don't even know if his motivation was actually honorable. Because apparently, from what I've read in the from different articles, he was trying to bring attention to racism, which is a good thing. But to do it in such a way, when you're walking around in Chicago by yourself, ostensibly, just by yourself, when the Arctic Vortex is there in Chicago, 20 degrees below zero, and you walk into either a police station or walk into some other place with a noose around your neck as opposed to taking it from your neck, it does raise suspicions. So I think whatever he tried to do backfired, and it backfired badly.
Okay. Let's cut into the – because I like your libertarian position, posture, and such. Talk to us a little bit. We've got the time left. My associate has asked you a question about a specific individual. I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think about the Bob Kraft situation? You know who Bob Kraft is, right?
Bob Kraft?
You learn it.
No.
Yeah. Oh, come on now, buddy. The Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots.
Okay, what about him?
Oh, come on now, partner. Come on, Joey. Come on now, buddy. All of a sudden, you're in a
I don't know what the issue is. What's the issue?
Oh, the issue was he was caught in a sting operation in Jupiter, Florida, and he was seriously sexually violating young women who had been brought illegally into the country, and the national media basically suppressed it until a sting operation and information from that sting operation in and around Jupiter, Florida, was made public in the last 2 days. Oh, so you don't know about
no.
that?
No.
Oh, you don't know anything about that. Oh, okay, well, we'll move away from
well,
that.
Well, for what you describe, I mean, if the guy was caught with his pants down, literally.
He's on tape
doing it to, and he's engaging in
Damn.
Women who were brought here by sex traffickers. He's doing a hell of a terrible thing. The guy should be punished.
You think the National Football League should suspend him for a year?
I think he should
be
tried.
He's an owner, but you think they should suspend him? It would be consistent with the Constitution and bylaws of the NFL? What do you think, Joe?
Oh, well, if they're complying with the Constitution of the and the bylaws of the NFL, sure. But myself, I think a person should be prosecuted first. Found out.
Oh, he's
going to
be prosecuted. Yeah, they caught him in the sting operation.
Yeah.
I guess they'll prosecute him. I don't know. You know.
And
he's
then,
pretty
you
powerful,
know,
man.
Yeah, and then if he's found guilty, then put upon him what he put upon the women that were brought to him. Make him pay.
Okay, that sounds fair. That sounds like.
But
the American
I like to give everybody the presumption of innocence enough to not take away anything from them until they've been proven guilty. Because we've had it.
Okay. Gotcha. Let me ask you a question here, because we move pretty rapidly on this program.
Sure.
So do you think that we should totally get out of Syria?
Yeah.
What you're thinking there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think we should get the hell out? Okay.
Yeah. We should get out of every place. that our boys are dying in, because none of these countries have invaded us, nor have they been an imminent threat to us, except for Little Rocket Man, because he was firing rockets not only over the airspace of Japan, but over the country of Japan. So he was an imminent threat to Japan, and we're in a treaty with Japan to help defend them. So that was a real threat, and I wouldn't mind if we went to defend Japan on that basis.
Defend Japan. Okay. What do you think our casualties would be? What number are you comfortable with? 600,000-700,000. You know, because there's going to be an exchange of nuclear weapons and et cetera. And then he's got a big uncle called China, and he's got a lesser uncle called Russia. So what do you figure we can?
Well, I think Trump already, for all practical purposes, neutralized them. He's supposedly denuclearizing the peninsula. We haven't heard from him in about 7 or 8 or 9 months, which is pretty good considering the guy was blasting off a missile every other week or so
just to piss off Trump. You haven't been staying on top of your game. Now, he's not denuclearizing. In fact, that would be one of the issues at the negotiation tables in North Vietnam.
Well, he didn't denuclearize one particular site.
No, he didn't. He just... that blew up a site after you build another site. But hey, we appreciate it. Joe, why don't you bring yourself more up to speed, and we look forward to hearing from you next week.
All right.
You know, you represent a particular faction and base in America. Yes, sir. We look to hear from you.
Okay.
Appreciate you taking the time on a Saturday morning to call us here in Minnesota. All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Take it easy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Take it easy. Yes, sir, Don, it's good to get those kind of calls. You know what I'm saying, buddy?
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, Mr. Edwards, there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, we were talking about politics just a minute. We need to dive back in because, you know, I guess Amy Klobuchar is running into some snags here and there about her staff and what she's been making the staff do. And I don't really have any criticism for Senator Klobuchar at all whatsoever. And I think it's absolutely hilarious that, you know, we just talked about Trump saying grabbing the woman's whatever, you know, if you're a celebrity, just got to talk about that. But now they're digging through Klobuchar stuff and saying that she's kind of treating her staff like a tyrant. And I guess my answer to that was, you know, you took the job. That's what you have to do. You're trying to make a name for yourself. So if you got to drive to Popeye's Chicken 3 times a week to get her a family pack, don't complain about it when she's running for president. You know,
gotcha.
I mean, that's just my.
You know, one of the things we should do is, in that she's announced her run for the presidency, we should take a look at her track record for 8 years as our county attorney. I hear some rumblings about, you know, she was kind of tough on the black community, if you will, with regards to crime and punishment, if you will. Let's make a commitment to go to our research data banks and et cetera, take a look at how she handled the color problem. Because you remember that she came into office right after the Jerry Hoff murder over there at the Chicken Shack on Lake Street, rounded up a lot of Negroes, over 600, before they got to write a couple people, if you will. Let's take a look next week at Amy Klobuchar and see how she handled the issue of law and order. I think that that's fair, and I think that that's balanced.
I just sent a request for her to be on the air with us. I know that's some red tape that has to be cut, but I think it'd be really great to have her here, you know, while we're talking, and then analyze it after she hangs up.
I think that's a great idea, Don.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Just to tell our listeners also, you know, I've invited the president and the vice president of the Minneapolis NAACP, as well as the new president of the St. Paul NAACP, and I have not gotten a response from any of them yet. So hopefully,
we were looking forward.
And give us a call and be here, because, I mean, if you're running for office, it's always a good thing to come here by the Ron and Don Show. We're not going to beat you up. We're just going to ask you some legitimate questions, and hopefully you can answer them, and we can move on from there. Again, that open invitation to the presidents of the Minneapolis and St. Paul NAACP and vice president stands open, and
Most of you know how to get in touch with me via social media, and I will be glad to set it up, promote it, and get you on here and hear really what you have to say in response to questions that
Why,
Mr. Edwards and I have.
Yes. By the way, we need to check and verify Vice President Minneapolis, because I understand the person who was Vice President, Angela Williams, and Ms. Williams was removed from office. I understand the issue, just as the issue of the election in St. Paul's NAACP is being now reviewed by the national NAACP, if you will. That should be a piece of discussion. Very quickly, Don, a couple minutes left. Just want to indicate that we didn't get to the big meeting at the Board of Education here in Minneapolis, if you will, with the Chief of Metallo Arredondo. Talking in terms of the next leader of the 4th Precinct in North Minneapolis, if you will. Interesting comments and observations. But I was puzzled by the absence of so many people that talk so much about, you know, their dislike for the police and et cetera. About 100 people there in the big auditorium there. And that's something we really need to take a look at, the future of who will control and run the 4th Precinct in North Minneapolis. So, man, we still got a lot on the menu, if you will, and I'd certainly like to get that NAACP leadership. Now, is the Urban League still functioning in Minneapolis?
You know, I don't know what the Urban League is doing. I haven't heard much. Positive or negative. And I know the door, I drove by there and someone was going in, so the doors are open. But the Urban League has been virtually silent since, I would say, November of last year. And I don't even know. We had Miss Wells on, Miss Kanae Wells, a few weeks, three and a half weeks back. And she had mentioned that they should just lease out space in there to other agencies and be a rental agent, basically. For agencies that, you know, are actually working in the community that have some programming, because
Don, they have that. They have UROC has offices on the entire east side of the building. That's the side that's actually owned by the city of Minneapolis. That takes us back to the situation with former State Representative Gray, not to be confused with the guy that was the director there for a period of time, but we're talking about the former State Representative 10 years ago. That's a doggone good question, too, because, you know, we want to take a look at the stability of our organizations, if you will, how they're doing and what they're doing, you know, because how you're doing will determine what you're doing, you know what I mean? And at a time when, yeah, we started out this program by talking in terms that we were still waiting for all that big money from the Super Bowl. And now there's another piece of money that will be in the pot after the Final Four. NCAA Final Four, if you will. So the black community, the African-American community, should be looking at anywhere from 18 to 25 million going into the coffers per the promises of the host committees of both of the events, the Super Bowl a year ago and the NCAA Final Four, coming up in April. So we're looking at a real windfall, aren't we, for the African-American community just with these two sporting events? Yes, sir. Yeah, so this will be a great time. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, we
maybe,
have a little bit under a minute
ahead.
Left.
Oh, we're
yeah,
sure. We're
say we have a little bit. We have a little bit under a minute left. And we got to get back on this.
Let our man James Brown take us home, man, and drive safely out there. Okay? Take care, my brother.
It's very slippery.
Some people say we got a lot of matter. Some say it's a lot of love. But I say we won't quit moving until we get what we deserve. Take you eyes to make